Excellent. Listen, we haven't got time for intros, so if you don't know me, my name's Steve, wife of one, and wife Susie. We've been married 45 years this year, in fact, so I guess you have to have been around for a while if you've been married 45 years, and she's a lucky woman, and who's that laughing down there? You've got to travel with me everywhere. Is that you, Trish? You've got to come everywhere I go. All right. Bring your healing ministry and your laugh. I love it. Listen, we got to get into it. So let me sort of preamble this. I had one of my team said to me a few years ago now, but not that long ago, and I didn't know this, but they said this. They said, I've noticed something about you. I said, oh, yeah, okay, cool. Am I going to like what you say? They said, I hope so. And they said, well, I notice every time you're in a meeting, your back never touches the back of the chair. And I thought, and? And they just said, I don't know, it just seemed like, I don't know, I just noticed it. And now, lean back, Pastor Jace, it's all cool, it's all cool. I mean, I'm so high up here, you got to lean back just to see me here. But I think what they were saying was, and look, I don't have your stories, and I'm not allowed to steal other people's, so I just got to tell mine. I want to stay perky, you know? I mean, I'm standing beside Bo here, you know? Man, he should be on Australian Idol. He sings, mate, he can sing. Yeah, you're not kidding, it's bad. But you're a great dancer. I tell you, stand up a minute, Bo, because you look exactly like I used to look. Pastor Rob, you'll remember. I used to look like you when I was 23, all right? And I'm in awe of you. Listen, I'm old enough now, and I'm saying this to people in private, not just public. You know, I'm having coffee with guys, and I'm saying, look, this is a bit embarrassing for me to say it, but I'm aware there was a time you might have thought I was your hero. But you need to hear me, you are now mine. And I am absolutely determined to make this generation my heroes. And so, come on, put your hand forward to Bo, and put your hand forward and we're gonna pray for him. Heavenly Father, are you buying a house yet, Bo? And why not? That's fantastic. Do you drive a Mercedes yet, Bo? Well, we'll pray for one of them or something like it. Is that cool? Put your hand down if you think God wants Bo to be poor and desperate. Keep your hand out if you think God wants Bo and all of his kindred. We're praying for him vicariously, for all the others. All right, Father, we pray and we pronounce blessing on this generation. In Jesus' name, Lord God, I pray for the touch of Jesus. Lord God, our shoes are not big enough, Lord God, for what they will put their feet into. We declare it, we love it, we love them in Jesus' name, amen. And that pretty well goes for everyone under the age of 50 from where I sit. I was 63 on my last birthday, so that's where it's going. I don't feel 63. My wife says she has 5 kids. I've only got 4. She said my oldest son's the problem. The 63-year-old, he's the problem child. But what I want to talk to you about is put the title up. This is, why am I still here? Now, just to be clear, I don't mean breathing. Well, you'll know what I mean when I say this. We've probably have all met one or two pastors who have left the ministry, but they haven't remembered to leave the pulpit, if you know what I mean. Please leave the pulpit, because you've left the ministry. I want to address that tonight because I don't think I'm the perkiest guy of my age I've ever met. I'm embarrassed by the energy of some of my friends, but I still love what I do. I have people come up to me afterwards and say, do you enjoy what you do? I said, does it look like it? And I don't think that's an accident. Come, put your hand up if you know someone who was hot for God, Now, we're not making judgments. We're not mentioning names. But simply, you have an intimate friend, someone who was, you know, maybe with you on the front row, whose back never touched the back of their seat way back in the day. But they're not even here now. I mean, that's, we all got those. What, the rest of you got that, or are you those people? So I don't mean why am I here, like why am I in the building? Because I've seen people give their heart to Jesus, you know. 2 years later, two rows back, amen. 2 years later, two rows back. 2 years later, every second week. 2 years later, are we going today, sweetheart? I don't think you do this by accident. I remember stopping a meeting pastor one time. I was leading the worship in a meeting, because that's what I used to do. And I stopped and stop. This is a really cool song. Well, I don't know what that first song was, but it was one of those type of ones. Remember when we used to run across the building and do all action songs? Well, no one was doing them except like a 75 woman on the front row. Her name was Billy Kennedy, my mum. I stopped the whole thing. Stop. This is a good song and there's only one old lady dancing. Now, Bo was into it tonight. I tried to keep up. The good thing about being fat is you only got to start and then stop. It keeps jiggling for a while and everyone thinks you're dancing. So it's like, you know, I just sort of got to get it going and then it just carries on for a while. My mother turned 96 this week. Seriously, you just never seen, Casey Mack put a photo of her on the internet. She's not even in our family and she's putting photos of my mother on there. And she just looks like so vivacious, you know, and I'm thinking, how do you do it? And she perky, and so I wanted to, maybe we got to bullet point them because I got lots of them, but I want to just talk about, all right, why am I still here? Now, what I want you to do is you've got your page. Bo's the newest kid in the building, yet he's got the old school pad and pencil. I like that. I'm more like Moses. I do things from a tablet. I had a Baptist mate once, his whole church was in an uproar because he was preaching from an iPad. I just, tell him you're going old school like Moses, you're doing it from a tablet. He said, I don't think that will help. It didn't. All right. So, but I want you to do, so, I don't know, you can probably do this on an iPad phone, but if it was old school like Bo here, draw a line in the middle of the page. As I give you my list, feel free to get your own. That's what you should do when people preach. You know, you should be thinking of things. So you write your own list. I understand we're sort of all leaders here, but I've been doing this since 1700. So I went with Steve Penny. Some of you will know him. He's still my pastor to this very day. And to prove that, I had breakfast with him on Friday on my way out of town from Brisbane, in Caloundra. But I went with him in 1981 to plant a church. I was 20 and he was, I think he was 30, 33 would have been, 13 years older than me. And so, you know, we went and we did that. And I left my trade. I was a boilermaker by trade. I went to Bible college in 1983. They decided to put me on as the youth pastor, $25 a week. Woo! I think I was on about 360 as a tradesman, as a boilermaker back then. That's not even exciting anymore, but back then that was good money. So I went from that to 25, and I just couldn't believe I was the luckiest guy in the world. I just couldn't believe it. How lucky am I? You know? And I've been going ever since. And I just love it. I just think it's absolutely fabulous. You know, I'm just being me. I don't understand musicians these days that decline on the roster. Dear God, I can't even play the guitar, but I took it all over the world. You know, just, I remember busking in France just so I could sing How Great Thou Art outside of a picture theater, and because I had no money. Carl Butler was with me. Who knows Carl Butler? He got all Christian on me. I'm singing, "How great thou art." People are putting francs in there and he's giving it back. I said, "Hey!" Like, he's a single bloke. I'm a young dad with three kids. I said, "I don't know where you're getting your money, mate, but that's mine. Get out." I just love it. And you hear we got, "Oh, decline, you know, I've been on the roster 2 weeks in a row." I used to have a bass player in my church. Steve was his name. He'd come to prayer meeting Tuesday morning, 6 a.m. You know, that's when real people have the prayer meeting. And he comes every week. He'd walk up to me. "Want a bass player? I got it in the boot." And I thought, that's the sort of bass player I want. "Not, I've been on the roster 2 weeks this month." So look, I'm gonna make some of you mad. I'm just gonna, you know, poke the bear, but I'll just give you a few things, pretty bullet form, and we'll go for it. So, it's why I'm here. So you get the feeling. It's not why am I still breathing, but why I'm. Can I be really narcissistic? Why did I get the opportunity to be here? Maybe that's it. I'm humbled by it, by the way, and don't deserve it. But so here's my first one without any further ado. Oh, sorry, here's my setup. This is my setup. This is what really provoked this whole thing to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. In the 36th year of Asa's reign. Now forgive me for not putting chapter 35, which would help, and the rest of chapter 36, which would really help. But Pastor Rob, we got some other Bible boffins here. If you read 1 Chronicles 2 Chronicles 14, 15, you would find out that this is the guy you want to employ for whatever position you need in your church. Am I right? He is leading national revival reforms in his nation. And then you have this verse, in the 36th year, and then read chapter 16, and it doesn't go good. And it challenged me, that's how I came up with this list. It challenged me not to look at him and think what a bad guy he was. It challenged me to think, well, why, what am I doing to stop me becoming that? And I think it was the 36-year thing that got me. And I'm looking at Pastor Rob a bit. And did you see Wendy Megelsey on here? When Wendy Megelsey came, the MRI, whatever that old folks people thing is, I said to Pastor Nathan, look at her, she's an evergreen. She looked that young 40 years ago. I meant that as a compliment. That didn't sound too good. I just realized that. But I mean, she was that excited about life. I've never known Wendy to be in. She could be doing this session. There are just some people amongst us that have just never got old, that have never said, "I've done my bit. I want to be one of them." And I was raised by a 96-year-old woman whose husband deserted her and left her with 12 kids at home. That's who I've had to watch. I don't know if that's what got into me, and I'm happy to give her the credit. But I see it in a Pastor Wendy. I see it in a Pastor Rob. And I see it through our movement. But I see a lot of others. Oh, they're here. But dear God, turn the lights on. Pay the rent. Listen to Elvis, do something. I just buried an old lady in our church last week who was an absolute mad Elvis freak. So we did a couple of hymns, but mostly Elvis songs. And I tell you what, it was cool. Her name was Arnie June in our church. Her hands were like that for the last 20 years. But she's one of these breed of people. Come on, we got people can't find a shoe and don't come to church. Arnie June's there every week with crippled hands. And every week I'd say to Arnie June, "How you doing, Arnie June?" This is her answer. "All the better for talking to you." We just buried her. She was about 80,000 years old. I want to be one of those people. I'm looking at some of you, I got to do this for 25 more years just to get to where you're at. I want to ask you, what's your secret? But for those that are maybe 20 years coming to me, maybe I should advise you. I got to find out how to get here, but I can help you know how to get here. Is that cool? Because in the 36th year, I don't know what he did. Maybe he said, you know what, I've done my bit. Or, oh, the music's not like it used to be. You know, back in my day, we used to sing real worship songs. No, you didn't. You sung pub songs you changed the words to. You didn't even have the creativity to write your own music. You just stole tunes. Someone's leaving already. No, I know. Yeah. I was just making the others that do leave feel welcome. Okay, so here's my list. One more, Psalm 37, put that up here. It says here, this is not, I've not really preached this before, so that's why it's not that fluent. I've got to keep looking down and remembering. Look, it says, I have been young and now I'm old. Now, some of you know the rest of the verse, but I don't want the rest of the verse. I'm just saying that's why I'm sharing it, because I was young and apparently I'm now old. All right. I get a cheap seat at Sizzler. If there was a Sizzler. Here's my first reason. So don't forget, you've got a list. Write mine down, it could be helpful, but feel free to write your own. What am I gonna do to be sure I stay in the front row of Christianity? That's what I'm asking me. I'm asking me that. And I'm just musing out loud. Here's the first thing I'm thinking, is I, every day, 15 minutes in the chair. Oh, it's not dramatic, is it? He's just turning up every morning. Hey, God. Pastor Nathan, I had someone ask me just not that long ago, when did you give your heart to Jesus? And I said, this morning. And they laughed. And I understand why they laughed. I get what they laughed, but I wasn't being silly. I meant it. Now, I think what they actually meant was, when was the first time you gave your heart to Jesus? That was August the 31st, 1975. What a great day that was for me. I remember going to school the next day and telling all my friends in my year 9 class, I gave my heart to Jesus last night. I remember it. But they didn't ask, when's the first time you gave your heart? They just said, when did you give your heart to Jesus? So I answered as honestly as I could. Look, this is me this morning. Lord, it's me. You know I'm a stuff up without you. Lord God, I got up yesterday. I didn't plan to sin once. But here I am this morning, having asked you to forgive me for a few things I did that I didn't plan to do. But I did. I didn't mean to give him the bird, but he was driving pretty bad. Now, I'm being silly. God knows I'm not. Look, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. If I got up thinking, right, who gonna give the bird to? I didn't give anyone the bird, that is true. But the fact is, I don't get through a day without having to lasso that mind of mine and that heart of mine. And remember the freshness of the fact that, you know, this happens by the grace of God. You know, I've been on the state 24 years, you know. And you haven't even got me a car park? Oh, help me. Help me. You're so fat, you should park a long way away, mate. You got to give Trish a bus ticket. She's coming everywhere I go. Bring the healing gift. So are we clear? So I give my heart to Jesus every day as if it was the first. We talk about Christian leadership, and I feel like I've got to remind myself that the first word is Christian. Have you met a Christian leader that forgot that word? That's the first word in that little statement. Remember to be a Christian, mate. In Christ. Christ in me. Oh, every single day for me is like another lap around the Monopoly board. You know, I get to spend 15 minutes and collect another $200, another pot of grace for another lap round past all those, you know, scary things like Mayfair and Park Lane. And the devil's got hotels on all of them. And I got to get past them. I need the grace of God. And I don't know, I've just never forgot that. I'm not saying you have, but I'm just telling you, if you want to write something down, because sometimes we think it's something really like obscure, but you talk to anyone you think is a great, and I'm not one of them, but talk to anyone you think is a great and say, what do you think keeps you in the kingdom? And I guarantee 100 out of 100 will start with what I just said in some way. I just get myself before Robert Schuller, who remembers him? He lives in heaven these days. Used to pastor a church called the Crystal Cathedral. His messages went all over the world every Sunday. I read his book and he said this, every day I sit in my chair and I say, Lord, what are you doing today? Can I help? Come on, half the church turned up and say, God, this is what I'm doing today. You better help. He says, I don't work for you. Number two. Why am I still here? You got to have a sweet spirit. You just, look, I get mad at people. Gee, I get mad at people. I had quickest draw in the West back when I was a teenager, back when I was your age, Bo. I tell you what, just look at, ooh, you won't ever go. I was happy, mate. But I've tried to turn that into determination. But to keep a sweet spirit, my mother stood on a chair at my wedding. And she said, 4'8" of her, you know, built like a bean pole. She stood on a chair so people could see her and said, I got a word for you. I was 18, my bride was 20. She said, Ephesians 4:26 says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Well, I took that into my marriage. I was 18, Susie was 20. So we didn't like each other that much. I know your marriage is totally different, but we'd have some pretty serious dust-ups back in that day. And Susie came from a well-to-do, wealthy family. I came from 12 kids, social welfare. So it was a match made in hell, I promise you. Although God had designs on it, of course. So she'd storm off when I used to get a bit, you know, rambunctious. And so she'd walk out to the lounge to sleep in the lounge. And she'd go to turn her, because I'm right there behind her. She said, what are you doing? I said, I don't care where you're sleeping, sweetie, but I'm sleeping with you. We're not doing this. Someone stood on a chair at our wedding and said, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And so if you want to sleep on that 2-foot wide lounge, move over. Or we can go back to the queen size. And you can be angry there, but wherever you're going to be angry, I am going to be beside you. And guess what? You ain't going to sleep till I hear the word sorry. I didn't mean just to her, I meant both of us. See, people say, but I don't feel it. The Bible doesn't say to feel it. It says to confess it. The confession's the engine. The feeling's the caboose. Stop driving your train backwards. Yeah, look at me. I'm 63. Come on. Look, we got a bunch of pastors here. You can't get to be this age without someone, you know, stabbing you in the eyeball or something, you know, and, you know, like a best friend turning on you. But if you're going to stay here, if you're going to still be here, you know, and not be at the back with opinions about everything, you're going to have to learn how to have a sweet spirit. You're going to have to bring it to the Lord. Proverbs 4:23, what does it say? Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And that's a constant. I said I'm 63. Let me say it different. I'm in my 7th decade. That makes you feel 100 years older. But I've learned that you're never on top of this. You just got to keep doing it. People say, oh, I did that. No, you didn't. You can mow the grass last week. Leave it 4 weeks. Rats are coming. You got to keep mowing it. And you got to keep guarding it. Number three. How do you keep a... why am I still here? Oh, see what you think about this one. Long time ago now, I stopped reading the Bible. Let's go back to God's charge to Joshua 1. Read this book. Doesn't say that, does it? It says study the book. I stopped reading it and started doing what it told me to do. I started studying it instead of just reading it. I am not a fan. I don't want to get hung for this, but I'm not a fan of the, you know, read the Bible in a year. Because I think the goalpost moves to reading it when we're supposed to be meditating on it. And if you're going to meditate, you probably can still read it in a year, but at least understand the goalpost first. So we've got a generation that reads a lot, knows squat. Study the book of instruction. What's it take? Continually meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written. Only then will you prosper and succeed in everything that you do. Psalm 119 verse 11, I've not got on there. It says, your word have I hid in my, not my head, my heart. You don't get nourished because you keep the food in your mouth. You have to ingest it and let it get down and through your whole being. And we've got the word in our head, but we've got to have it in our heart. It says, John 8:32, if you know the truth, or does it say if you read the truth? People get in a jam and it's almost like they quote scriptures like 50 Hail Marys. It's not babbling on, you know. What do you know? What have you proved? You know? My dad ran off with a woman. What do you think I felt when I got to the same age he got to? Who do you think visited me when I got to 39, the same age when my dad exited with a successful church? Who do you think was my constant companion late in the night and early in the evening? I'd like to say it was the Holy Spirit. Well, it seemed like the devil ran faster to get to me. And I didn't just quote scripture. I declared it with authority. He said, you're the son of your father. I said, I am the son of my father. So bugger off. Excuse me, but that was in my prayer time. And God can translate, even though you can't. We're fighting for our lives here. And it wasn't what I knew, it's what I knew. And it's why I'm still here, I'm sure of it. My next one, because we're going quick. Number four, have I got a photo? Did you get the photo? There's the photo, now put the heading up. I've met the Far God. We had a bloke preach this verse at a state conference a few years ago. I do not know what his message was. I just was so besotted with the verse. That was John Cameron. That's like 4 years, 5 years ago. And I have not been able to shake this verse from Jeremiah 23:23. And it says, am I a God who's only close at hand, says the Lord? No, I am far away at the same time. We're now about to find out why you got to study the word and not just read it. That sounds like it should be on a Batman show. That Riddler sends that to Batman. I said, God, what is that? And as I chewed it and I leant into it and I asked Holy Spirit, I just felt this is my application of the verse. There are two sides to God, like there are two sides to a dollar coin. This way, what's it worth? Talk to me. What's it worth? Yeah, so he's God. No issues, but he's showing us two manifestations. He's showing us a near manifestation and a far manifestation. I'm going to make a bold claim here. I'm not going to substantiate it. I'm just going to give it. I think 60% of Christians have never met the faraway God. I'll explain what I mean, then you come up with your own percentage. See, the near God is the give us this day our daily bread God. Oh God, Johnny needs a new pair of football shoes. Boom! Someone provides a miracle. Oh God, I got a headache. Oh, I got connect group tonight. God, you got to help me. That's the give us this day our daily bread God. That's the near God. He's near to the brokenhearted. The far God, let me just say, it's not that he's far. It's just that you've got to go far to meet him. Far away from your phone connection. Far away from your opinions. Put the photo up again. I found a place a few years ago near my place. It's 120 kilometers from my own home. Every Friday I'm in town. That's where I am. No agenda. Just me sitting, trying to attract the attention of the far God. What do you get from the far God, Steve? Your convictions. Your calling. You don't get your calling from God 15 minutes in the chair. I got a nephew who's one of our missionaries in a nation called... Do you think he's there because God whispered to him in a Hillsong song? I'm not making light of that. But somewhere down the line, that boy, 35 years of age, got before God and said, God, why am I on the planet? What's this about? He didn't take his phone. He didn't take his favorite friend. Didn't take his music. I don't know what he took, but he said, I've got to get alone with God. And he met the far God. Now I'll say it again. I don't think 60% of Christians have ever met the far God. They spend 5 weeks researching whether they buy a Jayco or a Snowy River and have never spent 5 minutes away saying, God, why am I on the planet? Am I the God that's close at hand? No, I am the God that's far away. He's not saying no, he's saying not only. There's more to me. And when you find more of me, you're gonna find more of you. I've met the far God. Steve Penny asked me to take on Liberty Christian Church 150 years ago now. He said, hey, I'd like you to think about taking the church on. I said, nah. He was good to me. A couple of weeks later, hey, you thinking about taking that church? I said, nah. A couple of weeks later, he asked me again, hey, listen, you think you might want to take that church on? I said, nah. And then he said this, you haven't prayed about it, have you? I said, nah. Well, hang on, listen to me. He said, why not? I said, Steve, look at me. Look at me, telling the prophet the wisdom. I said, look at me. A dog doesn't pray about being a horse. A dog may pray about being a better dog, but a dog doesn't pray about being a horse. I am a youth pastor, not a senior pastor. I am dog, that is horse. To which he said, just go and pray about it, you idiot. And if you know him, you know that's what he said. So I packed some things into my mini miner, that's the old ones, not the new one, and went out of town. I said to Susie, I'm gonna go away for 3 days because I'm not trying to get rid of a migraine. Yeah? I'm not trying to get a new pair of shoes because I've got to officiate at a wedding. I'm trying to find out what I'm gonna be doing for the rest of my life. So I went and met the far God. I could have come home in 10 minutes. I went up there with 4 options, and that's another night story. I literally could have come home in 10 minutes because the minute I chose to go far away to meet where this far away revelation God lives, he was loud and clear. You thinking of resigning your church? Have you been to see the far God about that? More than 1 week. I had to say, hey, you know I'm still here, even though it's been a hell of a week. I went and saw the far God. I just go sit at Somerset Dam. Well, there are worse places to sit, I can tell you. All right, next thing. Is that all right? I got lots more, but can I leave number 5 till the end? We're going to come back to it. It's going to be my last point. Number 6, the church. Now I know you're the leaders, so you're in church. But I want to give you some rationale, and I don't like saying this on Sunday, so I'm going to tell you though. Do you know that when I was a boy, if you were a pastor and had 500 people in your church, you probably, Pastor Rob, spoke to 450 of them on Sunday morning. Well, pre-COVID, if you had 500 people, like on the roll of your church, you probably spoke to 250 on Sunday morning. Now, it's not all spiritual. It's 7-day working week and sport every minute of the day. There's lots of reasons. Since COVID, if you've got 500 people on the roll of your church, you're talking about 175 people on a Sunday morning. That's the facts. You know what people say to me? Oh, that's normal now. Look at me. I can take you to towns where every second marriage sleeps with someone in the next street. It's normal, but it's not good. Don't confuse the two things. I can take you to towns where every kid's teeth's rotten out because of what's in the water. Normal for this town, but it ain't good. So don't get smacked into thinking this is normal, it's okay now. I'm not talking about your belt, everyone else. I'm talking about you. My children have never heard me say, hey, Dad. Oh, sorry, me talking. Hey, sweetheart, are we going to church today? They have never heard that. I'm very, very tender for people whose kids are not following Christ, because I don't think there's a secret reason why your kids do. But I think there's some pretty guaranteed reasons for why they won't. I feel like the most blessed man in the world. I got a 41-year-old daughter married to a 45-year-old guy who's a drug addict 23 years ago. We've just handed our church over to us, the leadership. I got a 38-year-old daughter who's Pastor Wayne's kids pastor, and her husband serves on the eldership of the church. I got a 35-year-old daughter that led the worship in at the church that I tithe to last Sunday. I got a son with challenges that are his story to tell, not mine, not within him, but against him. Pastor Wayne looked at me and said, I don't have a guy in my church with more integrity than that boy of yours, Steve. And if you're sitting there saying, oh, he said that to me about mine, well, I'm glad they're neck and neck. Your boy must be a fine boy. But I do promise you, as for me and my house, we made a decision many, many, many years ago. In fact, my boy's driving down to church. I'm 16. He's the drummer at his church. 16. I'm driving him down to one. I was the pastor, and he's going down to one of our campuses to be the drummer. I'm driving him down at 6 in the morning. He's 16. He says this, don't know why I bother going early. I said, oh, a bit of an attitude there, Sir Andy. What's the deal? He said, oh, the guitarist is never on time. I said, stupid guitarist. I didn't. I said, Andy, what does Psalm 100 say? Have I got Psalm 100 up here? I said, what does Psalm 100 verse 2 say? And he said, I don't know. I said, well, I'll start it. I reckon you can finish it. I said, serve the Lord with... He said, oh, yeah, right, I serve the Lord with gladness. I said, okay, we'll get to gladness. Let's go back a bit. It says serve the Lord, not the church. That's where some people's wheels fall off. They're serving the church, not the Lord of the church. You're not serving the roster, Andy. You're not serving the worship pastor. You are serving the King of Kings. You can serve the church and miss the Lord. But I can't find a person that finds the Lord that doesn't serve the church. And the person that tells me he's their Lord and doesn't serve their church, I don't know who they met. Because when I fell in love with my woman, I wanted to be in the same house she came to. And it's been working for 45 years. Just ask me. My friend Steve Kelly's wife, Sharon, said this in my hearing just recently. She said this. She was probably quoting someone else. She said, what one generation deems optional, the next generation deems unnecessary. And I've added one more. And the generation after that doesn't even know it exists. And I can show you that in my church, with a dad that treated church as optional, and an adult son that now doesn't think it's necessary, and his kids who don't even know who Jesus is. So it might be normal, but it ain't good. And I'm not telling you to bash everyone else. You just live like it's everything. And you'll probably still be a couple more and we're all done. Number seven, you got to win souls. You got to win. Look, there's nothing that's going to keep you in the kingdom like winning souls. I mean, who plays golf? Who plays bad golf? That's everybody. Look, you can play really bad golf, but if you tee off on the 18th hole and hit a cracker, you're coming back. And no matter what life does to you, if you win someone to Jesus, you're coming back. Proverbs 11:30 says, the seeds of good deeds become a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. I had my grandson's birthday party in a park recently, and the other side to that family are not Christian. And one of the men in that brought a partner, a girl, and there was a bunch of Christian girls, mothers of other children, ACC girls. When we got in the car to go home, Susie said, that was a nice party. I said, I am so angry. She said, whoa, what happened? I said, we've got what, six or seven? I could even count two or three credentials. Not one of them spoke to the only unsaved person in the park. And yet they'll be leading their church prayer meeting tomorrow. Lord, give us souls. I did. What's wrong with us? Anyway, next one. We're going to finish in 10. 10 minutes, we're done. I had to yell at you on that one so you'll think this one's kind. Here it is. Here it is. I tithe. Pastor Jason reminded me over dinner of something I must have said somewhere 20 years ago. I was asked to preach on tithing at a church once. Not going to say where, who, how. All right, but I was asked to preach at a church. It had some campuses, so I went to one of the campuses. Now, look, she's a difficult conversation to bring up when you're not the pastor, but I've been asked to teach on it in this church, and I'm pretty good at it. And it helps if you do it. So I stood pastor up and I said, look, folk, today we're going to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. We're going to preach the unpreachable. We're going to preach on tithing. And then I looked pastor in the eye as he said, and said, you tithe, don't you? There's about 5 seconds of silence, and I'm looking him in the eye thinking, just lie. I will plead the blood for you. Just lie. Eventually, after about 5 seconds silence, he said, most weeks. I had lunch with the senior pastor of the church and he said, how'd you go? I said, well, you know what preaching's like. You know, you preach lots of stuff, but you're really just banging on one big idea. Like, why am I here? That's the big idea. So, you know, I said, so you know the big idea they went home with today, don't you? He said, no, what? I said, most weeks. Look at me, I tithe. I tithe. When I was an apprentice chef, 15 years of age, like this week I earned nothing. This week I took home $70. Woo! 1976. So I rounded the 70 up to and put 8 aside as the tithe. I was 15. And then I halved the whole 70, even though 8 was already brought to the Lord, and gave my mother 35, because I was the oldest Christian at home. And what's 35 minus 8? 27. Here's my math. Last week I had nothing. Now I got $27. Woo! And that's how I've done it ever since. Look, you want to know why we don't get a lot of... Sometimes you're smart because of what you don't say. So I'm working out how smart I want to be. Every Sunday, probably, in your church, someone gets up to do the little talk and they'll say, as you give your tithe. And there, bang, you've just blown at least 30% of the potential, because you told them it was theirs, and if it's theirs, they've got the right to choose. And you told them it's giving, so now it's a matter of generosity. When verse 6 says, you've robbed me. So God actually doesn't think it's yours, and he doesn't think it's generous. I don't know if you've checked lately, but Malachi 3 starts with these words, bring the, not give your. I worked that out lots of years ago, so I just decided, oh, we got Malachi. Oh, that's not even what I want. Here's what I want to say. Here's what I want to say. People say, oh, tithing's in the Old Testament. Okay, granted. So what are you trying to tell me? Well, it means we don't have to do it. Woo, adultery's on then. Yes. All right, please don't leave the room yet. Because that is also in the Old Testament. You mean we can kill anybody now? Woo! Oh, hang on, no, not everything. Oh, okay. So there's some things that come through and some things that don't. All right, well, let's work out whether this one does. Little test for you. Who wrote this book? Talk to me. You do got to do it quick because I've got to finish. Who wrote the book? What do we know his job is? Thank you, it's not a trick question. So Malachi wrote it, which is why it's called Malachi. He is a, what do prophets do? They talk, which way? Forward. Well, God's made us stuff up. Because I don't know if you've looked, this is the last book of the Old Testament. He's backed this guy up, hasn't he? So God's got a prophet who speaks this way. There's nowhere else to go, my friend, but the New Testament. So if adultery goes through, it's way, way back in Exodus. I reckon when a prophet talks in the last book of the Old Testament, God's probably, and by the way, the whole conversation starts in verse 6 with God saying, Yahoo, I don't change. So let me get my prophet to tell you where we're going, folk. Bring the tithe into the storehouse. See, this is why I don't read the Bible. So you don't find this stuff when you read it. You got to meditate on it. But look what it says. It says, I'll open the windows of heaven. Look, stop gagging on the veggies. There's dessert. Bring the tithe. That's the broccoli. Open the windows of heaven. That's the apple crumble. What does your mother say when you say, Mum, can I have some apple crumble? What does she say? Eat your veggies. So we've got Christians gagging on the veggies and the apple crumble's going cold on the bench. And a little note to you, broccoli makes you healthy. Apple crumble is a treat. So I bring the tithe and my relationship with God is healthy. Wow, look at that, I get to have a Harley. Nothing theological about it, it's just a treat. And we got people gagging on the veggies, oh, come here, he probably preaches prosperity. No, he doesn't, he tithes. Dingling. Look, I'm not going to do the next point, but I'm going to put the picture up. This is my pastor. For 50 years, that man's been my pastor. That's when I met him. Straight off the plane from Vietnam. And to this day, rock solid. Because everything I'm telling you, I've seen in him. And maybe that's why I'm here. I got a pastor. All right, last one. Go back to number five, I think it is. Number five. Here's my last one because we've got to finish. Number five. I'm just going to say this to you. Your human soul, listen to me, it's combustible. So it burns. Remember that bush Moses saw in Exodus? And he's turned aside. Why did he turn aside? He said, because he saw a bush that burned, but that wasn't it, was it? There was a suffix, if you like, or a phrase that was not consumed. I've got friends of mine that were hotter for God when I was 20 and 23, Bo. I've got friends that valve bounced better than you did tonight. But I'm back and you'll still be here when you're my age if you engage even some of this. I had a friend of mine one time say, Andrew Evans, he lives in heaven now. He said this, if you're going to be bad at anything in the ministry, don't be bad at prayer and your relationship with the Holy Spirit. I don't even call him the Holy Spirit anymore. I don't call her the wife. Holy Spirit. I lit that before the service started. It's just a piece of string. I could have pulled a piece of string out of my pocket if Pastor Rob wasn't here and I'd have lit it for you. If Pastor Rob wasn't here, the fire marshal, I would have pulled a piece of string out and lit it for you and it would have gone and it would have looked brilliant for about 15 seconds. And depending on people's capacity, human capacity, I've seen them burn for 6 months. I've seen them burn for a year. I've seen some burn for 10 years, such as their human energy. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're just a piece of string, just a bit longer than someone else's. Dare I say we could probably come back tomorrow and it's just a piece of string. And it's still because it's soaked and surrounded. I've got baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 16 years of age. I was so desperate. I wasn't there going, go back to your seat. Come back when you want it. I was there going, what did that guy say in the Bible? I will not let you go. When I was 16, I said, I've got to have this. I was singing in English on the front row louder than anybody. I was singing, I was doing everything I could, trying to express infinite with finite. And I asked God, you've got to give me the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jude 20, I think we got it, Jude 20. It says, beloved, build yourself up on what? See, holiness is God's character. Faith is his MO. When I pray in the Holy Ghost, I come close to the character of God. The spotlight shines in me and I know what to give away, you know, like to put aside. And I just feel like I can do something because I'm building myself up in my most holiness and faith. I thought we'd just finish by standing up and praying in the Holy Ghost a while. But I want to say this. Some of you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is all I know. Look at it. Je m'appelle Tinetois. That was crass, but it was French for my name is Stephen. What's yours? Or I could have said, my name is Stephen. What's yours? But I tell you what I can't do. I can't say, je m'appelle Denis and my name is Stephen, what's yours? At the same time, I've got to let one language go to manifest the other. So if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask God if he'd breathe. You're a leader. And look, you may have human energy that'll get you through 40, 50 years. I'm not suggesting there's not a grace upon your life if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I know what it's done. For the people I know that it's been done for. And so if you would ask, and I'll ask, and let's just lift our voice just for 2 minutes and pray in the Holy Ghost. And when you're finished, Pastor Jason will have the microphone and I'm badia, 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 badia. Oh, that's all folks from me. But come on, why don't you stand to your feet? And I'm just gonna say, let's pray in the Holy Ghost. And so you're either gonna pray in the Holy Ghost like you always do, Or you're going to say, God, baptize me in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit, and I want you to begin to release a heavenly language. Hallelujah. Just let your mind go away from your intellect and let your heart.